You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, learn, serve, and grow together in God's love. You can join us Sunday mornings for contemporary worship at 9 a.m. or for traditional worship at 11 a.m. During the summer, we meet for worship at 9:30 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at covenantmadison.org.
Our first reading, the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5. Listen for God's word. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture.
And another reading from the 11th chapter of Isaiah, the first through the fifth verses. These are familiar verses, but ones we usually hear in Advent and Christmas, but today we hear them for Lent. "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be his belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins." May the Lord bless this reading to our understanding and our use. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We're not going in order as we consider the Beatitudes. We're doing number 4 first. It just happens the way that timing and the preferences each of us had for offering a meditation occurred. Tonight, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Hunger and thirst. Most of us have experienced some mild form of hunger and thirst. That annoying feeling you get before you have fasting blood work. But the coffee thermos for me is always waiting in the car along with a granola bar the minute the blood is drawn. Get it? That? Thank you. The only time that I even had a hint of what hunger and thirst might be more seriously was on a road trip with my daughter that we made in the middle of August some 15 years ago as she was moving from Boston to Los Angeles. Our final sightseeing trip was the Grand Canyon. We were off early in the morning, and the plan was that we would get to Barstow for lunch and have an early arrival at my aunt's in Lake Arrowhead, traveling along Interstate 40. Or so we thought that was what would happen. We were just past Needles, going into the Mojave Desert, and traffic slowed to a crawl, bumper to bumper, in August, with a confusing number of pickups and SUVs all pulling boats in the middle of the desert. We creeped along, stopped at a rest stop. The heat was unbearable. We forgot to top off our water bottles. So we were back in that creeping lane of traffic, having to turn the air conditioner off and on to keep the car from overheating. And finally, a sign for Barstow 100 miles away. My daughter dug out some trail mix she had in her purse, but there was no water. After a while, it just stuck in our throats. And we crept along as signs to Barstow were few and far between. Stomachs rumbling, throats parched, and all I wanted to do was get to Barstow. Hungering and thirsting for a town I'd never been to, Barstow. We got there about 4:30 in the afternoon. We didn't get into the diner fast enough to console us, but we survived. We more than survived. I mean, the experience was only 5 hours long, but it was an introduction to what hunger and thirst might be. There was a single-mindedness about wanting to get to a place where we could find food and water. And Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the right thing, for they shall be satisfied. The first four Beatitudes are blessings upon those who need desperately God's mercy, those who grieve, those who are poor, the weak, the hungry and thirsty. Now there's a temptation in the Beatitudes to see them as behaviors that if we do them, we will earn God's blessings. Fasting as a spiritual discipline can help us come to know God and recognize our dependency on God. But the point of fasting is not to earn a blessing as a spiritual good person. The Beatitudes are not prescriptive of our behavior, but they are descriptive of God's ethics, of God's care and mercy toward those in need. And in this, the need is the longing for righteousness. Blessed are they. Now, they aren't defined. They are not just the disciples. They aren't described as only Christians. They are all those who are blessed because, not because they are righteous, but because they need, they long for righteousness. They likely are righteous, but that's not the point. Righteousness, it's one of those biblical words that has a variety of context and implies a variety of meanings. There's the personal righteousness of being upright, as one translation of the Beatitudes says, another saying doing the right thing. The longing or wanting is to get it right. There's a lot that conspires against us doing the right thing and of being upright. Just a nudge can tip us off balance. And we're not upright, we're down on the ground. Being upright takes a lot of effort. As a member of the senior population, I've been doing a lot of work on strength and balance. And I'm learning that upright is not just keeping your feet on the ground or throwing your shoulders back. It's an engagement of all your body, and most especially, the core. You know, that part of the body that we groaned at during ninth grade phys ed? When I started doing this work, it was the last thing I wanted to do. But like righteousness, like being righteous, it engages the very core of our being. It's engaging all of who we are to focus on the right thing. And it takes a great desire, a hungering, a thirsting to get it right. But Matthew doesn't limit righteousness to just our personal behavior. With his rootedness in Hebrew scripture, righteousness for Matthew is really a God thing. Over and over again in Hebrew scripture, we hear, as we heard in Isaiah, that God is righteousness, will bring righteousness. And it's usually along with words like steadfast, just, faithful. We read the Psalms, we read the prophets. Righteousness rarely appears by itself. It's almost always a parallel verse, and most often with justice. When we're longing for righteousness, it's not only that we might be upright ourselves, it's an expanded longing for God, setting things right up not only against our own failings, but up against the principalities and powers that would knock us down. God's righteousness has implications for our behavior as we're drawn to and seek God, but there is also with it a kind of empowerment that comes with God doing what is right by us, with knowing we're blessed. We're able to move forward and do right not only for ourselves, but also for others. God's righteousness carries us forward, and we find we're joining God in the work of righteousness. A couple nights ago, we streamed the movie Harriet. We'd missed it in the theaters. It had been a long time since I had read anything about Harriet Tubman, except for the articles that came out a couple years ago when it looked like she would soon be on the $20 bill. Well, that's not happening in the foreseeable future. But while we know the outlines of her story, leading some 70-plus slaves to freedom, the emotional depiction of a dramatic production like the movie Harriet captures that sense of longing for freedom, first for herself and then for others. She ran away by herself when she could no longer live with the excuses that accepted the bruising and the battering of slavery inside and out. She ran because she longed to live, not just live in freedom, but to live. She ran longing for God's righteousness, longing for God's justice. That same longing took Harriet Tubman back into the bowels of slavery to lead her family and others out. The movie uses a lot of dramatic license with people and situations that are created to carry the storyline. But when we simply hear that core of her story, we can hear the hunger, feel the hunger and the thirst for what is right and good and true. It was a hunger that propelled her forward. She became a witness to God's righteousness. I kind of wonder if Harriet Tubman ever knew what it was to be satisfied in her long life. I have a hunch she knew, though, that satisfaction was not something that she would obtain herself. It was not hers to accomplish. But the satisfaction, being satisfied, being filled, is a gift of God. Blessed are those, the Harriet Tubmans, the many we can name in our own lives, who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessing on them who long for God's righteousness. Blessing on those who thirst for the ability to engage the very core of their being in service to God's ethic of doing the right thing. Blessings on those who desire more than anything to witness to God's justice and mercy and live fully in our world. Blessed are they, and they will be filled. Thanks be to God. Amen.